Okay. All right. Good morning, everybody. This is the time and place set for the June meeting of the Tucson Supplemental Retirement System Board of Trustees meeting. Art, would you call the roll, please?
Sure. Mark.
Here.
Kevin.
Here.
Jim.
Here.
Jeff.
Here.
Aaron.
Here.
I don't see Elsa, so she's missing at roll call, but we have a quorum.
Great. The first item on our agenda is the consent agenda for the May meeting. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
So moved.
Her two moves, whoever the second one was, will you be a second?
I heard Jeff first.
Okay. All right, so we have a movement in a second?
Yes.
All right. Is there any discussion? Art, would you call the vote, please?
Mark.
Here.
Kevin.
Here.
I believe those should be ayes, but
Jim. Ayes, I'm sorry.
Aye, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll aye it.
Jeff.
Aye.
Aaron.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0.
Okay. Right now, I would like to think that by the time I am done with my second four-year term, I will have this down. Do we need a vote to adjourn to executive session?
Yes. We need a vote. We need a vote to go into executive session.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve going into a motion to go into executive session?
So moved. This is Kevin.
Is there a second?
Second. This is Jim.
All right. Any discussion? Art, would you call the vote, please?
Mark.
Aye.
Kevin.
Aye.
Jim.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Aaron.
Aye.
And motion passes 5-0. So what we'll do for those that were invited, we'll switch over to the executive session link that I sent out yesterday afternoon. So we'll see if that's back over in that.
Hang on. I'm sorry. I am looking. I see an attached report. I am not seeing that I got the executive session link. I thought I had it.
Okay. It's on its way.
Thank you. All right. We'll see you in a moment. Right, there we go. Okay, I think we have everybody now. Art, do we call the roll again or not?
Yeah, I'll need to call the roll, and then we'll need to come back and do we'll need to vote to resume regular session.
Okay, if you would call the roll.
Yeah, Mark.
Aye. Here.
Jim.
Sorry.
I'm here. Here.
Okay, Jim and Kevin are both here. Aaron?
Here.
Jeff?
Here.
Elsa?
Here.
We have a quorum. We're all present.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to resume regular session?
So moved. This is Kevin.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
This is Jeff. I'll second it.
Okay. I got Elsa second.
You got Elsa first. Yeah. Okay. Call the roll, or assuming no discussion, call the roll, please, or call the vote, please.
Mark.
Aye.
Kevin.
Aye.
Jim.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Aaron.
Aye.
Elsa?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
Okay. We are out of executive session and ready to take up the disability application for Cheryl Dingley, who is present. I remind the board and Ms. Dingley to be mindful of my admonition in the executive session regarding confidences. What I'd like to do is have somebody make a motion so that we have a platform for any discussion that may be necessary. Is there a motion regarding the application for disability?
This is Jim. I move that we vote to approve the application and make it retroactive to March 7th.
Is there a second?
Just a second, Kevin.
Okay. Is there any discussion?
Sorry, thank you. Can I ask for a clarification on the effective date? Are we talking 2023 when Ms. Dingley went out of work, or 2024 when she applied for TSRS disability?
Thank you.
I meant 2024 when she applied.
Okay. All right. Is there any further discussion, questions?
Yeah, this is Kevin. I think, kind of in our typical situation, we've got a mixed bag from the various physicians that are involved in the assessment and the evaluation. Some indicate, or at least one indicates, there is total and permanent disabilities. Others are not quite so certain. We have Social Security that has approved the applicant's disability, which we've discussed tends to be a pretty high hurdle rate. But then we've also heard from the applicant. I've also read the applicant's materials. So given that information that she provided in my assessment of the materials, I would support approval of the application.
Thank you. Any additional comments, questions, discussion? All right, Art, do you want to call a vote?
Yes, Mark.
Aye.
Kevin.
Aye.
Jim.
Aye.
Jeff. Aaron.
Nay.
Elsa.
Aye.
Motion passes 4-1 with one abstaining.
All right. Ms. Dingley, you were working with Dawn, is that correct, on your application? You're on mute.
Dawn and Anita, I think.
Okay. If you will get in touch with them after the meeting today, they will assist you with the final processing of your application. We all certainly wish you well and hope that you get better, frankly. Permanent is total and permanent, but one certainly hopes with this particular condition that someday for most people it will in fact get better. So good luck. Take care. You're welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting, but you can certainly excuse yourself as well.
I'd like to thank everyone, ladies and gentlemen, for your thoughtful consideration and your time. And at this time I'll exit the meeting. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Take care.
Ms. Dingley, before you go, this is Dawn. I will give you a call once the meeting's over to work out when we'll get your paperwork done.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Next item on the agenda is the disability audit update.
Yeah. Mark, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this is just an update to let you know that we have received all of the responses back from our audit that we sent out in April. And there are no consideration for suspensions at this point as we've received all the information we've asked for. There is, however, one issue that I'd like to bring to the board's attention, because the board does have the discretion, in our review of the, documents that were submitted, the tax documents that were submitted, we have an issue with a retiree, disability retiree that submitted documents showing they made plus $30,000 in income in the 2023 tax year. And at the board's discretion, they can so choose to have this member reevaluated for total and permanent disability. In my tenure, I don't think this has come up as administrator, but it is at the board's discretion. This member is a post-2009 retiree, disability retiree. So the code language is vague, just to say that the board has the discretion to seek reevaluation in this particular circumstance. So I am going to seek board direction, and I am going to withhold names because I do not want to go into executive session. That's why I didn't provide any information on this. And it needs to be an independent, in my opinion, it needs to be an independent vote of the board.
Before we get to questions, I want to clarify, because I did have a brief discussion with Art about this issue and how it would be presented. Art has made a significant effort. You'll note it was theys as opposed to he or she, to make sure that this does not become an issue about a person. Rather, it's about a situation. And I did confirm with Art, this is earned income. So if that was on somebody's mind, this is the money that was earned from labor, whether it was a W-2 or 1099 income. This is not interest. It's not dividends. It's not passive income from an effort. With that, Elsa?
Yeah, Art, do you have any general knowledge of the type of work they did before with the city and the type of work they were doing while they were employed in their new capacity? Without, if it's a single type of position, I understand that maybe you can't share that, but if it's a general position, that might be helpful.
I do not know what kind of work they were doing to earn the income that was reported. And I'd have to go back and look at the application to determine what they were doing while employed with the city.
Okay. And Mr. Chair, to Elsa's question, I just wanted to note that I recommended also that Art bring this to the board because the individual is approved as total and permanent disability, which means that they're not able to earn any substantial gainful employment wage. So $30,000 to me was an indication that there was a significant level of wage or work being done.
Yeah. Aaron?
Just a quick question on the type of form that goes out when you do the audit. Is it able to be adjusted, such as if your taxable income is over X dollar amount, please disclose the source of income and or the employers? Or is it set as a standard by code or something?
We could look at modifying the form to ask the nature of the work being done to determine the source of income if the board is wanting to go in that direction. We could look at that. It's not a hard and fast form. The code just says we have to do this annually. It doesn't prescribe how and the verbiage that is included.
Is this the only one that's come up in recent years?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Like I said, this is in my tenure as administrator, which is stretching now to somewhere that is 7 or 8 years, somewhere in that neighborhood, maybe 6 or 7. I've not had this occur where they've made such a, I don't want to say a large amount, but it's an amount that would raise eyebrows.
Go ahead, Cassie.
Oh, I was just going to note that the income information comes in on a copy of an actual tax return, so that it's an objective source. And I don't think there's been any inquiry beyond that, because as Art mentioned, it hasn't come up. But we're not asking people to self-report. We want IRS records.
It's worth noting that we may well have, given the number of people we have who are out on disability, and frankly, the objective fact that an awful lot of people don't report an awful lot of income, we quite likely have some people who are actually earning money from productive endeavors and simply not reporting it on a tax return because the nature of the receipts doesn't result in a W-2 or a 1099, and therefore there's no checking. The fact that we have somebody who is reporting $30,000 or so of taxable income suggests a more organized and structured effort to earn money than we might otherwise have. This is not somebody who's doing a little day labor here and getting paid for it. Art, is it appropriate under the circumstances in lieu of a full reevaluation to inquire of this payee? Please explain yourself.
Yeah.
Before we go out and spend money on an evaluation and so on, and then report back. I'm certainly I'm pretty troubled by this camp, without a doubt. I don't want to minimize it. I also don't want to spend a bunch of money if what we get is, I'm earning money, what of it? We've saved the cost of the investigation, and we can let them sue us if we reject their application going forward.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'm comfortable with direction to staff to bring back additional details related to the source of the income reported. It doesn't need to be in the manner of a formal motion, but the minutes will reflect board direction, because that is important.
I hesitate to suggest this example because I'm a lawyer and I'm supposed to deal in truth and facts, but I guess I could envision a scenario where perhaps there's a family business and the profits are coming out and they're being paid out as earned income, with Social Security and Medicare tax being paid in order to ensure that that somebody qualifies for Social Security. And I'm not saying I'm not troubled by that, but that would trouble me less than would having a job with a third party and getting paid.
So I think the appropriate course of action and direction is to have staff bring back additional details at our next regularly scheduled meeting. Based upon those details, the board can take appropriate action based on the report that's provided by staff.
Okay. And we don't need a motion on that, I don't think so.
No, as long as the only thing I would ask is if there's anybody that is adamantly opposed to that, I would prefer them to speak up so we can note that for the record.
Yeah.
But if we're all in agreement, I think we're good.
Okay. All right. The 2025 fiscal year budget adoption.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. Let me first pull this up and share my screen if I could here. This is the same document that I've shared for the last few years.
Excuse me one second, Art. I'm hearing background noise with somebody. Can you, whoever that might be, can you mute?
Let me just go on and see.
Keep going.
Maybe. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. Yeah, give me a minute. Everybody see that document okay?
Yeah, a little bit.
This is the same document that I sent yesterday. And it's the same document that we've used for the last three fiscal years. So I'll apologize for the late distribution of this document, both in terms of yesterday's distribution and then not having this done in April and May as I've traditionally done. Jim, I know you got to go at 9:30. So if now it's got to go, then I appreciate you being here. Thanks. The way that the city did the budget this year was very similar to the way that it handled it last year, in that things, objects and amounts were just carried over from prior year as a base, with adjustments to salary increases and medical cost increases, in accordance with, salary adjustments. And we had a 1.5% increase that's built in there. And then we also had some adjustments to our medical and dental cost increases as well. So I'll go through a few of the highlighted items that I want to touch on, because there's some big differences in interest income from FY 24 to 25, the 6.3 to the 12.5. That was really a recognition from the budget office that our interest earnings in the market had changed, and the base amount of our investments had also grown. So that's reflected in that number from 6.3 to 12.5. You'll also note that the city contributions increased pretty substantially. I think it's about almost 13 million. This is a result of a couple things. One is its growth. It's related to growth in the TSRS numbers. We're hiring more TSRS, employees. And we give a wage increase last fiscal year. And I believe there's 3% built into the budget, even though city employees are only getting 1.5% initially, and they're going to evaluate our revenues and expenditures as the year grows. But there is capacity in the budget for that. And so that is the nature of that growth. And those are two substantial, amounts that drive the revenues for TSRS.
Tell me again those two components that are making this thing jump from basically 42 million to 54 million.
Yeah, one is there's more employees budgeted in TSRS. In other words, we're planning on hiring more people into TSRS. Two is we've hired more people in TSRS over the last year and a half. And the third component is that I think there's a 3% increase, salary increase that's based in that number. And while the full 3% won't be recognized immediately, because it's going to be a wait and see, from city leadership as we go along, I think the edict is to come back in around December to evaluate revenues and expenditures. They're going to pay out 1.5% the first pay period in July. The other 1.5% is going to wait and see how we're doing maybe mid-year. So those are the components that I was briefed on by the budget office. Jeff?
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, is there anything that would give us like a year-to-date FY 2024 current numbers as compared to what was adopted, just as a comparison?
Yeah, you see that in the monthly budget report that I furnish to the board every month. Or you should see that in that document.
Do we have that for this month to pull up as a side-by-side? I may have just...
I can pull it up. The budget to actual report that you're seeing here on the screen is not aggregated. So I'll have to, if this is a confusing report, what I would ask is if you want me to bring that back as a takeaway, I can certainly do that, but I would need to aggregate the data from this report. Because this is where you're, this is where it would be on this particular report, but it's not inherently clear.
Okay. Thank you.
The other thing I'll point out here is, and I pointed this out to the budget office as well, but you'll note that the TSRS employee contributions remain the same, despite the fact that we had an increase for the first time in our tier two, tier one variable and tier two. And that's a flat out mistake that, you know, they're aware of, and our actuals for 25 will actually come in greater than this for the reasons that I mentioned before, on top of the 50 basis point increase on those two groups. The other items that have increased is mostly related to salaries and wages as a result of that 3% built into the budget. We did have some medical and dental cost increases on our HMO plan and our HRA plan. And then on the PPO plan as well on the dental. So that's driving the cost increases for medical and dental. Everything else below really object 196 or the HRA employer contributions here stayed flat. They held it flat to prior year. And really there wasn't a lot of discussion on that aspect. So our expenditure budget, you'll see increased minimally due mostly to the increases in the employee-related expenditures for the salary and employee-related expenses line items. So those are the things that I want to highlight from the budget. This really has already been adopted by mayor and council. The budget has been finalized, and so I'm seeking board approval in relation to your fiduciary responsibilities. And again, I recognize it's not optimal to approve this after mayor and council have already approved it, but this is where we are today.
Art, I got two more questions. Tell me why the payroll pension number is unchanged between 2024 adopted versus 2025 recommended. And then what is TSRS refunds? Remind me again what that is.
So the payroll pension number is our number for it's a aggregate of all of our different types of payments to retirees. So our regular payments are in there, regular just somebody who retires. Our disability retirees are in there.
I guess my question is why doesn't it change?
The budget office didn't change that number for this year. They didn't really seek input from TSRS. And the reality is our fund, 701, is a fund that is not subject to the state expenditure limitation. So whatever retiree payments we have, if we have a mass exodus of 1,000 retirees and our payments spike to, you know, $6 million a month or $7 million a month, we have to pay those payments. And that's the reason that I don't believe there's a lot of.
All right. And then what's a refund?
A refund is something like somebody leaves before they're vested. We pay out a refund. Or somebody leaves after they're vested and they don't want to take a deferred retirement, they refund. If we transfer out to ASRS or another IRA, because somebody has separated from service, that's considered a refund. I do believe our death while employed payments are in one of these two categories. I'm not sure if they're in refunds or if they're considered a pension payment. But that's the nature of those two categories.
All right. Thanks, Art. Well, I move approval of the budget as presented.
Art, is this an action item?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second. This is Elsa.
All right. Is there any additional discussion? Hearing none, would you call the vote, please?
Mark.
Aye.
Kevin.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Elsa.
Aye.
Aaron.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0.
Okay. I believe that concludes our formal agenda. I did have one item I wanted to bring up, going back to the disability issue. Is there anything else that anybody has on their minds to bring up? Okay. Art, before I get to the disability issue, do you have any better sense now for July and August meetings, just so people have a sense for where we're headed?
Yeah, I don't foresee the need for a July meeting. And we will reconvene in August because there's a couple, there's the investment update. Very likely going to have a manager update. We'll have a manager come in, talk to the board about their performance. And then we can bring back any administrative items that are necessary, but I don't foresee a July meeting and, definitely come back in August.
Art, what about the disability issue we discussed with the audit? Is that going to be?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I'll bring that information forward in August. I don't know that there's okay. I don't want to call a meeting to. I mean, that would be probably a 15-minute conversation. I think we can accomplish that in August. I don't sense that that's a. I don't sense that that is a big priority. I mean, you know, we'll send out the memo, or we'll send out the request for information, give her 30 or 40 days to give the person 30 or 45 days to bring it back and call it good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with that timing, Art, but, I mean, if it really is, I mean, at least on the surface, it seems, at least to me, on the surface, and it's worthy to do a little more research, but on the surface, to me, it just completely flies in the face of total and permanent disability. So to the extent that it plays out that way, and I'm not saying it is, we'd have to cut off payments to this person. And I don't know if we've got the ability to reach back to prior payments. And that's always tougher to get money back after it's already been paid out. But, I think we want to, move along this fairly fast, but I'm fine with the August timeframe that you've referenced.
Yeah, and I'll just say staff won't wait to initiate the letter to this individual. We'll do that immediately, the results of which just won't be shared until August.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Dawn?
I just have a quick question, and that is does it really matter the nature of the work because it's earned income? And secondly, 2239E of the code says the board can ask for a medical evaluation. It doesn't really say anything else about what they can ask for.
Yeah. And Dawn, I think that the medical evaluation is a more significant step than an interview and inquiry on the follow-up of the nature of the income. So I'm comfortable with what the board has discussed today, that's our next step before we go through a medical evaluation, which in my view is more invasive for the person. And to Kevin's point, I do want to mention that because this was on the agenda today, the board could take action to suspend the payments now, subject to reinstatement. That's our other option.
Jeff?
So I would feel that would be a little bit premature to suspend payments. I think we need to get a little, we should proceed cautiously, but definitely do our due diligence.
Yeah, and back to Dawn's point, it seems to me that whether we have code authority to inquire into the basis for earning $30,000 or not. This is really giving the applicant or the beneficiary an opportunity that, I don't think they can complain and say you don't have a right to ask, because if they do give us something like that, I'd be tempted, Art, for you to call me and we can have an emergency meeting and wrap this up very quickly. That's not what I'm hoping we'll hear. Is there any strong feeling that we should suspend the benefit now, subject to reinstating it if we hear an explanation?
No. Right.
Okay, good. I am, and this is no surprise to those who've been here for a little while or longer, continually troubled by Dr. Krasner, and what I thought I heard today was that he appeared to not be reflecting the proper definition of complete, I'm drawing a blank on the term, but
total and permanent.
Total and permanent disability. Did I hear that right earlier?
Yes, Mark, my point was that Pete and Don are always careful in their correspondence to set out the definition and ask for his opinion. And then he continually comes back and compares the individual's condition to the job description that they are in or were in previously. He does not look at the total and permanent picture.
Well, I guess I'm kind of at a point where I'm ready, and I'm not sure it's time to make that decision today, but maybe it ought to be on the August agenda to let Dr. Krasner know that this is the definition, he works for us. And if he's got a problem with doing the analysis based on the definition that we have adopted and the code reflects, then maybe we need to find somebody who can. And if people feel like I'm too harsh, let me know. But we've adopted a definition, and it's his job to follow it.
Mm-hmm. Mark, if I could chime in here, respectfully, I don't want to get into this conversation today because it's not agendized.
Okay. Fair enough.
And so what I will do is put this as a topic, for our August meeting.
Please.
And we can have, and the board can have a more thorough conversation, about how we approach Dr. Krasner. Because what I will say just really quickly is we do outline, as you will see in our letters to him, what our expectation, what we're looking for him to evaluate. And it's very clear. It's very concise what we're asking him to evaluate. And we've heard from him several times in the past. So I will agendize this. Messages received. And in the interim, because I am the interim risk management administrator, I now have access to a listing of independent third party medical examiners that I didn't know was even a thing. So I will begin research on that end, but I'll agendize this properly.
That's good on you doing that and do it the right way. Sorry for going beyond where we should have been.
Actually, if I could just add one, something came to mind over the last few days as I was looking through the application, and maybe this is probably something Cassie can respond to once it's on the agenda, but this concept, and we've all struggled with it, this concept of total and permanently disabled, and we know it's part of the code, blah, blah, blah. But, and it's certainly implied, maybe it's explicit, but it says totally and permanently disabled forever and ever and ever. And to me, if a person's, 60 years old, should it be a cutoff of, okay, are they permanently disabled until they're 70 years old? Because do we really care about they're going to be disabled until they're 90? Mm-hmm. It's almost a concept of their expected working life, mm-hmm. And I think it's easier than for a doctor, and it certainly is easier for me. Okay, is this going to get turned around, especially if it's someone that's 62 years old that comes in versus someone that's 45? To me, it's a little different, at least in my mind, it's telling me it's a little different hurdle. But mm-hmm. anyway, I don't want to throw this out there and, you know, try to discuss it today, but for some reason a little light bulb went on in my head when I've been looking through some of these things, and it's like, maybe we've discussed this before and I just don't remember it, but it's something that kind of jumped out at me.
Yeah. And just briefly, Kevin, we did work on that. And when we amend the code, what we're proposing is that total and permanent is something that will result in death or last at least 5 years.
I see. Okay.
So we did.
Yeah. Okay. I remember that now.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm sorry. All right. One last question. You know, this came up through your audit, annual audit of those under this disability. Do you audit all individuals? Everyone that's on disability?
Yes. They do go through an audit. I don't think everyone gets audited every year. But we have, I think they're on a cycle or a rotation. And I see Pete and Don both raise their hands there.
Okay. All right. That's all I had. Thanks.
So just a clarification on that. We audit people until they reach normal retirement age. Once they are already at normal retirement age and disability is no longer relevant to whether or not they are in the audit process.
Okay.
All right. Don, did you have something, or did that cover it?
That covered it.
Okay. Very fine. All right. Anything else? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Did you catch that? Uh-huh.
I had Elsa, and I'll Jeff, you want a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All right. Call the vote, please.
Mark.
Aye.
Kevin.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Aaron.
Aye.
Elsa.
Aye.
We are adjourned at 9:46. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy your summer.